For the sermon this morning, this passage is, I think, one of the beautiful passages in the Scripture. And most of the time when I've looked at it, I've often focused more on doubting Thomas and the whole thing of how do we believe and why do we believe. But this morning I'm going to focus on about the first four verses. And those are the verses in which he comes to the disciples and the first words out of his mouth to them are what? Peace be with you. He says, peace be with you. And I had to think about why does he do that? Because if you go on through the passage, you see that he keeps repeating himself. He says it again to them in that same setting, and then further down when he meets Thomas. Again, the first words, peace be with you. I had to think about, actually my father's death. It was 8 years ago in September. And There were decisions I'd made, I'd chosen in my life, where I knew that he didn't necessarily feel real good about him at times. And when he died, I felt a sense of release of kind of knowing that he was in heaven and he had this perspective on life that was different than he had when he was in this life. And that whatever I chose, if I was striving to be faithful to God, there was a sense in which it was going to be okay. And I remember, And as I thought about that, and with this, this is a very different situation because here was a death that happened in which there was this betrayal. In which not only did Jesus die and he was gone, but there was this sense where the disciples were left saying, okay, it really doesn't matter what Jesus thinks anymore, does it? And we're gonna hide in our room and we're gonna try to protect ourselves from what's going on and the danger we might be in. And suddenly all of this stuff is turned on its head. This is the way it was, as Kevin mentioned, for Mary when Jesus saw her in the garden. She might have said, if he would have said, how are you? She would have said, horrible. And 2 minutes later, she's saying, my Lord and my God. Now, what I want to understand, or what I want you to hear this morning, is there's a sense in which what happens is these disciples are sitting here, Jesus comes in, and they're going, oh, he was right. And then there's this fear. What is Jesus going to think of us? Wouldn't that be the natural response? And he says, peace be with you. And it was that simple statement that, in a sense, let the disciples know, you are a forgiven people. That Jesus was saying, I've spent all my years with you talking about forgiveness, and what you can know is you were forgiven. And I think one of the points that I want to emphasize this morning, that our basic identity, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, what it means is that you are a person who knows you're forgiven. At a very basic level, you know you are forgiven. Then he goes on, and he does something a little unusual. He says, as the Father has sent me, so have I sent you. Now, what do you think of that phrase? Think about what perspective they would have had of Jesus' life at that time. Think about the words they thought back to, like Luke 10, where I send you out as lambs among wolves. And they might have thought, oh, I wonder what that means. And then Jesus gave them this object lesson by going as a lamb among the wolves. And then he turns around and he looks at them and says, as the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. And he gives them that commission. And then he did something really unusual. He looked at them and he went, whew. He breathed on them. Now what was he doing there? You see, the word for spirit, it says in the next sentence, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Breath is actually the literal translation. Receive the Holy Wind into your life. And so when he breathed, he was literally reenacting the breath of God and the life of God that was given to us at our creation, just in the way that God breathed on Adam. And so there was in that moment within the church and the life of the believers a new creation that emerged. A new way of living and thinking and acting and being. And he was saying, the way that you can receive that is you receive my breath, receive my spirit, receive who I am into you, on the inside of you, and allow it to become a part of who you are. And then the next phrase, which I'm going to spend quite a bit of time with. In the NIV, it says, if you forgive the sins of anyone, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. There have been a lot of interpretations of this in the Orthodox and Catholic churches. The understanding of this passage is that it has to do with those who are in the priesthood, that those are the ones who are given the freedom, the permission to bind or loose sins, as it says in Matthew. And it relates back to what Jesus, when he talked to Peter, he gave them the power of binding and loosing. There is another place, or there's another interpretation, which maybe more Protestant churches have kind of thought of it, is that it refers to the church as a body, as a whole, that we have the power to bind and loose sins. Now, one of the things that's interesting to me, and it came to my mind, and this may not feel appropriate on a Sunday morning, but it is such a perfect metaphor of this whole thing of forgiveness and all of that. In what other settings do we use binding and loosing? Any nurses here? If someone is bound up or is loose, in a medical fashion, what are we talking about? We're talking about bowel movements, aren't we? For those of you who aren't old enough yet to know what a bowel movement is, it's the same thing as being poopy. Okay? Binding and loosing. You see, what's interesting is if you look at this passage, I think the NIV kind of messed it up a little bit. In the NASB, in the New American Standard, it says this, if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. And that's a more exact translation. And in a sense, there's something that's interesting. It says, forgiven them when it talks about forgiveness, but it doesn't say if you retain the sins, it has been retained for them. It just says retained. Now, what I'm getting at here is that this is not about your power to include or exclude people from heaven. This is about your power to decide whether within your own self and spirit and body, you are going to hang on to the sins of other people. That if you are going to forgive them, those sins become eliminated from you. And if you're going to be retentive and hold on to them, then they are held within you. Do you get what I'm saying here? And so this binding and loosing that we do, this binding and loosing that not only on earth has an impact in heaven, is that if we are going to be bound on earth, we would be bound in heaven. If we are bound up with the way people have wronged us, we are going to be bound no matter where we go. And if you go back to Matthew 18 and you see this message, this parable that Jesus gave about a servant who went to the king. The king said, hey, I'm forgiving all your debts. In fact, this servant came with a debt that would have taken him 200,000 years of working to overcome that debt. And the king said to him, it's all wiped clean. You're okay. Whew. He had that relief. And then he went out from that king and he saw his fellow servant and he said, you owe me a debt that would take 100 days for you to pay off. Pay it now. And he said, I can't pay it. Well, then go to jail until you get it paid for. See, this servant had been loosened in the debt that he owed. But he retained the debt that was owed him. And what happens so often is we fight forgiveness because somehow we think we're letting the other person off the hook. The reality is we can't hook them or unhook them. That's between them and God. But what we can do is hook ourselves up in such a way that the person who wronged us owns us. In a sense that when we carry that resentment, that we are the ones who feel it. So, when we talk about forgiveness, it's important to understand what we mean by forgiveness. Forgiveness means that we don't anymore, we let go of the emotional pain of the hurt that has been caused us. Now, it doesn't mean that you just automatically trust everybody. If we would have somebody to come to our house and take care of our daughter, and they decided to beat her, not feed her, and lock her and tie her up and put her in a closet and treat her poorly, we might eventually come to a point of forgiving that person. Now, if somebody came to me and said, if you really forgave them, you would trust them and let them babysit again. Well, maybe not. There's a sense in which forgiveness and trust aren't the same thing. It doesn't mean that just because you've forgiven somebody that you let them continue walking all over your life. But what it does mean is that you have stopped allowing them to have the power to ruin so many days of your life. And you have chosen to release the hurt that's there and go on. You see, when we eat, the food that we eat, that we take into our body, has both nourishment and waste. The minute it enters our mouth, there's stuff in there we need and don't need. And our body has been set up in a way that it eliminates the waste and takes in the nourishment. And the reality of our lives, each and every day, is we are always being given relationship kinds of things that happen in our life that are both nourishing and some are waste. We don't need them. And we think somehow that we get control of our life by hanging on to that waste. That if I just hold on to it, I'm going to have control of things to make life better. And we begin to get stomach cramps, and we get sick. We can't even begin to eat anymore because we're holding so much in. And we're just stuck in this place that feels really awful. I could ask for a raise of hands of who's ever been constipated. You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? Or we can do the opposite. There's another thing that can happen in our bodies is we don't do any sorting or filtering, and it's kind of like those who have been taught to forgive, and immediately they say, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. And it's like getting diarrhea. You just run it through, you don't get anything nourishing out of it. You're not even processing what's been given. And what is the point of health is when we begin to take in, to sort out, to know that we will experience pain and hurt. And that's appropriate. It's appropriate to mourn when it's time to mourn. But then we begin to say, with Jesus, how do we release? How do we let go? And this point becomes so serious because of what happens in that parable. I believe that no matter where you're at with Jesus, God has already forgiven you. It's not if you confess your sins as a first step or anything like that, but that you will not receive that forgiveness until you take that step. And it's a sense that someone can say to me, I've forgiven you, and will you forgive me? And until I release the load, you get it? No. Sorry. Until we release that sin, we're still carrying it. And God says you can't take it to heaven with you, so why would you want to carry it around on earth? Let it go. So whatever you forgive on earth will be forgiven them. Whatever you retained, will be held in. The servant came back. In a sense, I think God is almost saying, your lack of forgiveness for your fellow servant, you're in a prison in itself. Your life is horrible. And I think he's almost better off in jail in some ways than out there destroying people's lives. And so he again made him responsible for that debt. In the Lord's Prayer, what do we pray about forgiveness? Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. And I wonder if we took a survey, even maybe just of Christians, and I had you raise your hand, how many people, How many Christians, what percentage do you think have nobody that they're holding a grudge toward? Have nobody which there's this unforgiveness lying in the heart that's just sitting there and gnawing and eating away. And how many of those of us who are Christians do we take seriously the task given by Jesus, the power given by Jesus to bind and loose and choose to loosen? You see, there was a specific thing that Jesus was referring to. In scriptural times, Jesus was a Hebrew. He walked in a Hebrew culture. And the Sadducees and Pharisees would use the terms binding and loosing oftentimes. And they would do it in this way, that they, as the teachers of the law, had the power to say, you can do this and you can't. They had the power to bind people to their restrictions and law codes, and they had the power to say to someone else, or to say that you can do this, you can walk 10 steps on the Sabbath, but you can't walk 11. And if you walk 11, you are bound by this law code and are in violation, and if you walk 10, then you are loosed and you are okay. You see, in other words, people were intent on deciding for everyone else how constipated they would be, how locked up they would be, how they would be contained into doing the right thing. But what Jesus did is, as he often does, is he takes something from his culture, he turns it completely on its head. And what we too often do as a church is we come back and we interpret it exactly the way they meant it in the culture. And what Jesus was doing here is he's saying, okay, here, receive me. What did Jesus just do? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Be like me. Walk like me. Give freedom of forgiveness. And so if you forgive, they'll be forgiven. If you retain, you're going to be retaining it. So let it go. And that's Jesus' challenge to us. As a way of illustrating this, I wanted to invite you to maybe do a bit of an exercise. You see an upheld hand on the board behind us. And if you think about it in Scripture, there's a reference that refers to kind of up as being spiritual and life-giving things, and there's down as kind of things that kind of lock us in and hold us back. And I want you all to, if you want to close your eyes, maybe you can do that, but put your hands down on your lap. And as you're sitting there, think about a person who you've wronged and it doesn't feel like they're forgiving you. They're not letting it go. Now notice what happens with your hands. They tend to scrunch together. And notice what happens within your heart. What are you feeling as you feel about the way that they've held you in that place? Now turn those hands over. Think about someone that just affirms you, that thinks the world of you, that thinks that you are a person who is special and created in God's image. Maybe you even think of Jesus as he looks at you. What happens in your heart? What changes? What shifts as you allow that life to breathe into you? And if you keep your hands up, think of a person that you've forgiven, that you've released the hurt that was there, and the joy you feel in having let go. And you turn your hands over again and face down. And who are the people that have hurt you in the past? And you're still holding on to it. And you can't let go. What God wants us to do is to live as people with our palms up. You can raise your palms if you like. Who walk to others and say, peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. You can open your eyes and look up again. taking this step of releasing, the same as it is in the medical field. For some, letting go is just that, letting go. For others, sometimes the stuff has built up for so long and has become so gripping around our heart that we don't even know how to begin. And we need the community around us to walk with us, to help us, to give us the X-lax if that's what's needed. But to let go of that stuff that we're hanging on to. And when I give a sermon like this about forgiveness, most of the time, all of us think of this person we know that doesn't forgive well. The question I have is, have you forgiven them? Have you let go of that stuff with them? And can you stay within what Jesus told us and taught us to release what you can release within you, to not retain, to let go, and allow God to do His work? I'm going to invite the praise team to come up.